Welcome. So I have an exciting guest with me today. She has her own YouTube channel and lots of other really cool things going on. Jenny Mittich. And I have some blood work to go over with her today, and it's just going to be a really fun interview. So welcome, Jenny.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So we do have some things in common. You're a boy mom. I'm a boy mom. I do have one little girl in the mix, but lots of boys, so we have that in common. And I was watching some of your videos. I am a big fan of yours. If anybody hasn't already checked out Jenny's channel, she really is like in the geek squad of the carnivore group, you know?
That is
She
true.
goes deep and she dives into all these really like little niche things, and it's really cool, super cool. So if you want to geek out on carnivore stats and all that kind of stuff, she's your girl. And I appreciate you so much for that, because I don't think there's very many that dive as deep as you do into all the little nuances and all the testing and all the things. It's really cool that we
Thank
have
you.
you in our corner. Yeah.
I appreciate it. That's one of the reasons why I make the videos that I make is because I wanted that information and I couldn't
Yeah.
find it. So
Yeah.
I go down rabbit holes and share it with you guys.
It's so cool. It's so cool. And your latest, I think, two videos that I was looking at, you reduced your LDL by 23%. That's a really cool video. And the other one was you did 2 weeks of carnivore bars. And that's pretty cool too, those lab results from that. But I think it gives everybody out there confidence to know, oh, okay, if I do this or if I tweak this, this is kind of the results that I might get, and just confidence to go forward too.
Yeah,
So.
and I guess I really want people to understand that it's going to be a little different for everybody, but if you at least know how to read a basic blood work panel or know what you should be looking for like optimal ranges, then you can feel pretty confident that you can make some decisions on your own without having to go to a doctor and have them read your triglycerides or your A1C. Those are
Right.
very easy blood work markers. So everyone should know
Right.
how to do that. So hopefully
Yeah.
people feel empowered to get their own blood work too.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do make it so easy, and anybody can go through your videos and take notes and then go into it with confidence when you do have your blood work done. And speaking of that, I know you have a affiliate link for Own Your Labs, right? You have a
I
10%
do.
off affiliate. So if anybody's looking for lab work to get done, you can find that link below and you'll
Sure.
get 10% off for that.
Yeah, and
And
that's actually not an affiliate link. It's just a link that I got for my audience. I don't get anything for that. I know the owner, Dave and Siobhan,
okay.
and I just wanted to make sure that you guys all got the cheapest prices out there
That's
possible.
awesome.
So, yes.
So cool. That's so cool. Yeah. Well, we'll link that for everybody below, and I know we'll be using it. And so what else? I was just binge watching a couple more of your videos, and I know, yeah, you're a boy mom, and you also, we have in common, I think you have Hashimoto's,
I
right?
do.
Yes. So I don't know. I've never been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, but I do have two thyroid goiters on both sides of my thyroid. Gave us a big scare about 7 years ago. We ended up at a big cancer hospital, and biopsies and everything else later, we found out that it was not cancerous. So that's
That's
good.
good.
And since then, I've been able to reduce the goiters by half and one by over half in size. So working on that, and we would obviously like to see them gone all the way, but one of the things there is no dairy. So I am a no dairy carnivore too, for the most part, and I think we have that in common too.
Yeah, definitely. I love dairy, but
Me
if I
too.
have, I have it maybe once or twice a month, but if I have it any more than that, I suffer. It's not good.
Yes. Yeah, we have that in common too. Okay, well, you want to get into the lab work I shared with
Sure.
you? We just
Sure,
got some
yeah.
real
So
basic.
just a, disclaimer. I am not a doctor, so please don't take any of this as personal
Correct.
medical advice. We're just going to go over some blood work and see. So tell me a little background about this blood work here. There really isn't a lot here. We have like your CBC, we have a lipid panel, we have a urinalysis, and then there's just some basic stuff here. So what
Right.
exactly were you getting these blood tests done for?
This was just for our life insurance had required it. And we were like, this is a great opportunity. We have to have it done anyway. Let's just see, you know, what this looks like. So yeah, great. So it's very basic. And that's my part two that I'm going to be asking you afterwards is, okay, this was just very basic information, but like, what would you recommend if I did up an order with Own Your Labs? Like what would be my next step? So, yeah.
And you live in Texas, so you would be able to order on Own Your Labs. Own Your Labs, it's 44 out of 50 states in the United States where you can order your own blood work. So you are in one of the states you can.
Yeah.
So, okay, basic blood work here. Your fasting glucose is 66. That's pretty low. It's fine. That's good. As long as you have no symptoms, are you feeling good?
Yeah.
Like a lot of energy? You don't feel like you're having a hypoglycemic kind of thing?
No.
Then I think that's fine. How long have you been on carnivore?
It's been about a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen in my own personal blood work, that 14-day carnivore bar experiment, my fasting glucose was a 60 after that, which makes sense.
Yes.
But yeah, that's totally fine. Healthy, like the healthiest that you're going to see is 75 to 80 is kind of where you want to be. But if you're 66, that's fine too.
Okay.
A lot of people think, oh, if I'm 95 fasting glucose, I'm okay. Actually, I mean, it's good. It's better than most people. Let's just put it that way. But if you are really trying to attack some insulin resistance and your fasting glucose is still like 95 or 100, you have some work to do. Not the end of the world. Your A1C is excellent. 4.8, I think that is.
Okay.
That's great. And that makes sense with what your fasting glucose was. Have you ever worn a continuous glucose monitor just to see what your...
No, but I want to.
It's so much fun. If you're a psycho like me and like to track your data.
Okay.
And nowadays, there are some ways that you can get continuous glucose monitors pretty cheap. You can use Stello or Lingo. I think they're $39 per sensor. And you could just slap one of those on if you were curious to see how different foods affect you or anything like that. But with your numbers as good as they are, you really don't need to.
Okay.
Unless you were just wanting to do an experiment.
Yeah.
Looks like for your AST and ALT, those are some liver and kidney function numbers looking really good. Your GGT is a liver function number and you want that to be in the single digits and yours is a 9. So it's great.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. If we're looking at moving into the cholesterol panel, of course, on here, anything above 200 total cholesterol is going to be marked as high. You're 203. You're fine.
Okay. Okay.
Your HDL cholesterol is a 94. That's excellent.
Okay.
Your LDL cholesterol is a 92. Excellent. I honestly, for LDL cholesterol within the context of a ketogenic diet, I do not really look at LDL. People's fasting glucose is really elevated. Their triglycerides are elevated, fasting insulin, things like that. LDL is not a great biomarker for overall metabolic health. So I don't even really look at that, but yours is great. Let's see here. Triglycerides, 82. Perfect. You want to be under 100.
Okay.
HDL needs to be above 50. Triglycerides under 100 and you're in good shape. And then there's the triglyceride to HDL ratio where you would just take yours 82 divided by 94 and you're at a 0.87, which is excellent. You want to be under a 2.
Okay.
Cholesterol wise, you're looking good. Your life insurance company should have been like, these are great.
Yes.
Really, believe it or not, life insurance companies also know that LDL cholesterol is not a great biomarker because they allow higher LDL cholesterol numbers. What they're looking for are trigs and HDL.
Okay.
Now, if your LDL is like through the roof, that's a different story.
Sure.
But there's ways that you can lower your LDL cholesterol before one of these tests, naturally,
right,
with food.
Yeah.
In that video that you mentioned where I lowered my LDL cholesterol by 23%, it can be like that. So if you have a life insurance blood work coming up and you know that your LDL is like above 200, that is something that you can do. Check out that video.
Yes.
And then, I mean, for your urinalysis, everything looks really good. I mean, no drugs, obviously.
Right.
You know, everything's looking really good. So yeah, I mean, just looking at these basic tests, I would say you're in really, really good shape. If I was to recommend some other blood work just to see, I would say definitely a fasting insulin. Everybody should be getting a fasting insulin at least once or twice a year. I get blood work all the time because I'm crazy and I'm doing all these experiments. But I think, like, for you, once or twice a year, since your numbers are so good, would be good. You want your fasting insulin to be between 2 and 6. That's ideal. If you get that back, and not you specifically, but if one of the people in your audience gets that back and they're in the double digits or even in like the 20s, that's a really great indicator of insulin resistance. Now, you may have elevated fasting insulin years before your A1C starts to go up and your fasting glucose starts to go up. It's a great early warning signal for insulin resistance. So it's very frustrating that doctors do not test this because it's a $14 test on Own Your Labs.
That's crazy.
It's not expensive, exactly. So that I would definitely recommend. I also really like to test HSCRP, or high sensitivity C-reactive protein. That is a like systemic short-term inflammatory marker.
Okay.
And you want that to be under a 1. That's your goal. Mine on carnivore has always been under 1, usually between 0.19 and 0.7.
Okay.
So I, you know, some people, I don't know if you get comments like these on any of your stuff that you post where it's like, oh, red meat's so inflammatory, blah. And I'm like, actually, no. I eat red meat every single day and my HSCRP is 0.19. So I'm good. Yeah. That's a good one to test. Let's see here. What else? There's so many you could do. I think it's a good idea to do an omega check.
Okay.
I do those whenever I'm doing my sardine experiments because I feel like most people don't eat a lot of seafood.
Right.
Yeah. And that's really the only way you get omega-3s unless you're supplementing with like fish oil or whatever. Right. So I think it's good to kind of see where you're at. It tests you for 3 different omega-3s and then 2 different omega-6s. And you're looking for that balance. You know, we're always going to get some omega-6s in our diets, even as carnivores. If you're eating any kind of conventionally raised meats, you will get some omega-6s in there. And that in and of itself isn't a bad thing, but you do want to balance those out with the omega-3s. And I've found through my experimentation with sardines that you really don't need to eat much. Like 1 or 2 cans of sardines per week is enough to raise your omega-3s and adjust your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. It's pretty remarkable.
Really interesting. I know Dr. Ken Berry talks about just 1 can of sardines a week is enough for your iodine as well. Now, we do the fermented cod liver oil supplement for us and the kids just because we're not eating very much seafood or fish at all. It's in the freezer, but nobody grabs it kind of thing. So we just supplement. We always have, even when we did plant-based and whole foods, we still supplemented omega-3. And what was I going to say? Yeah, but that's interesting. We supplement iodine as well.
Yeah, I do too. I do actually have it right here because after we get off of this podcast, I'm going to be filming my Hashimoto's update video. I take this iodine. I don't know if you can see this. It's a 12.5, it says milligram, but I think it's microgram of iodine. But I don't take it all the time. This is Iodoral, Iodoral. I got this recommendation from Dr. Brownstein. I don't know if you've seen any. Yes, so you know who he is. He's a naturopath, well, MD doctor, but does thyroid practitioner work in Michigan. And I've read a lot of his books, and this is the one that he prescribes to his patients.
Okay,
I mean, you get this over the counter. This isn't a prescription, but I don't take it every day, though. I probably take it a couple times a week.
Okay. My husband was hypothyroid for all of his life. And so he was taking thyroid supplements and things, medication when we first got married and everything. But now it's healed. His thyroid, he is no longer hypothyroid as of like 2 years ago.
That's great.
But he did Brownstein's regimen as well. And he's crazy. He actually like made his own iodine. Scary. It's like in the cabinet. I won't take it. But he did it and he knows what he's doing. So I don't know. I mean, it did heal his thyroid. So I don't know. Yeah. So I do 5 drops of 5% Lugol's iodine every day. I worked my way up to that. I started with 1 drop of 5% and then I just worked my way up. And I've just been kind of roughly following Dr. Elizabeth Bright from Italy. And she recommends the 4 drops of 5% Lugol's basically, I think, for everybody, regardless of your diet. So I was like, well, I got thyroid stuff going on anyway that I want to heal. So I'll do 5 for good measure. And, yeah. You know,
well,
I
you're
going
to pee out whatever you don't use. So for hypo, it's really hard to take too much iodine. There, of course, there's people that have had experiences with it. But like, for example, if you're doing the 24-hour iodine loading test to see how deficient you are in iodine, you take a 50 milligram or microgram pill. And then whatever your body doesn't hold on to, you just pee it out. And that makes sense. I love Dr. Elizabeth Bright. I love Brownstein because they talk a little bit about, like, in Japan, women in Japan are getting like 12.5 per day just from all the seafood they eat, the kelp that they eat. Okay. So they kind of see that as a really good, like, general starting point for a lot of people. But then there's some people with severe hypothyroid that take like 50. So it's individualized for sure.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And she had recommended, have you ever heard of the HOCO iodine test? She had
mentioned
that in one of her videos. She said she would recommend doing the HOCO iodine test. I think it's just HOKO is how I wrote it down, just to determine if you have fluoride in your system, because she said fluoride inhibits the uptake of iodine.
And sure. And actually bromide. Bromide more so than fluoride. Iodine is part of the halide family. It's the only halide that we need as an essential nutrient. The other ones are not good for us. Bromide, fluoride, chloride. So, yeah, I think that 24-hour test I mentioned, you can also have them test you for all the others. And when you are trying to, the bromide actually gets into the iodine receptors because it's very similar in composition. So when you are trying to kick the bromide out, you also have, you take the iodine, but you also have to take unrefined salt, like electrolytes, because that helps in the clearance of the bromide, and then the iodine can go where it needs to. Now, unfortunately, it's kind of a never-ending process because bromide is in everything. Fluoride is in everything. I mean, we do, you know, fluoride-free toothpaste, no fluoride treatments at the dentist, and we've been filtering our water through a Berkey with a fluoride filter for years, even before I improved my diet.
Yeah,
So there's some low-hanging fruit there, but that's interesting. I'll have to look up that test. You said
HOCO iodine test. She said she would recommend it for everybody. I think we can get it in the U.S. There's some countries that you can't get it in, but she said we can get it in the U.S. And if we do have extra fluoride in our system, she said there's a salt loading protocol that you can do, and that will help flush it out or whatever.
Exactly. It helps to clear it all out, and then the iodine can go in where it's supposed to.
Yeah. Interesting. So is that blood work that you're saying for
The iodine test?
For the iodine test?
The iodine test, it's a urine test. It's a 24-hour urine collection test. Okay. So for that one, it was $70. I got it, I think, at Hakala Labs. That might be HakalaLabs.com is where I got it.
So funny. I bet you that's the same
thing. It might be. Now that I'm looking at it, I think that might be.
I'm going by like notes that I'm jotting down. Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
It must be that. So I did a whole video on this test, the 24-hour iodine loading test. $70. Anybody can order it in the United States. And then you can add on all the other halides. So you can have them test for bromide, fluoride, all that. Yeah. Worth it, I think.
Yeah.
It was very easy. I mean, kind of like gross that you have to have a jug of your pee for 24 hours, but whatever.
Yeah, that's important. It's good information. So that's
That's a good one. I'm trying to think of other blood tests that vitamin D. Everybody should be getting their vitamin D tested. Vitamin D25 is what you want. Okay. And the optimal levels for that, from everyone that I've talked to, like in a functional medicine space, it's either 40 to 60 or 60 to 80. The higher, the better, I think. And obviously, you want to try to get as much of that vitamin D from the sun.
Sure.
But, you know, for me, I live in Chicago. It's always gray 6 months out of the year. So I have to supplement for part of the year. But then in the summer, I drop that down and I get out in the sun as much as possible.
Okay. Yep. Okay. That's really cool.
What else? I do think it's worth it once to do a homocysteine. Okay. It's a cheaper way to check to see if you have a genetic mutation where you are not methylating B vitamins very well, because you want it to be in the single digits. If it's higher than that and everything else looks good, also your B12. If your B12 is kind of lower normal, even though you're eating only meat like we are, that might be an indication that you have like an MTHFR gene mutation or an MTRR like I have, and then you need to supplement with B vitamins, methylated B vitamins specifically. But yeah, I think those are all really good starting points for blood work. And if all of that stuff is in order and you're all within the optimal ranges, then I wouldn't test again for 6 months to a year, you know, unless you're doing an experiment. But a lot of people that come to carnivore are coming pretty metabolically ill. And I think if you're trying to lose weight, trying to improve your insulin resistance, testing probably quarterly is a good idea.
Okay. All right.
For sure.
That's really helpful.
Cool. Yeah, I think another thing I do want to point out with blood work, a lot of people think that when they get their blood tests done, that these numbers are just like static and that is their number. And I want people to understand that your numbers are changing all day, every day. So you might have triglycerides of 82 right now, but then in an hour, they might be 100. You know, it's going to be, it does move because your body is utilizing that cholesterol and those triglycerides in everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's another reason I like to get blood work a little bit more often, because then you can see your ranges. So for me, my triglycerides are between like 35 and 75. So if I go from 35 to 60, I'm not like, oh my God, my triglycerides went up. I'm like, that's within my range.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Same thing with HDL, same thing with LDL. Like I had a person in my carnivore community get really freaked out because her HDL went from, I think, 90 to 77. 77 is still really good. So that's within her range. She shouldn't get freaked out about that. So I think that's something people need to keep in mind, you know?
Okay. Yeah. It's really helpful information to have because, you know, we get freaked out. We hear like, oh, well, that's the number. That's the magic number. So if my cholesterol or whatever, if it's that number, then, oh my goodness, like I got to change everything I'm doing, you know, rather than, well, let me just track for a couple months and then see what my range is.
Yeah. For sure. And also if you have a number that's wildly out of range, so like if I had a triglyceride that was 200, I would just retest first because it could just be a testing anomaly. And then if it remained higher, another reason triglycerides could be going up temporarily is weight loss. So had I lost a bunch of weight recently? And if so, then I wouldn't worry too much about that. And then, you know, finally, you can't base all of your life decisions off of blood tests.
Right.
You know, you also have to look at how you feel.
Sure.
Do you feel good? Do you have energy? Right. Are you able to live the life that you want to live? And okay, if you have a marker that's a little bit off for 1 month, in the grand scheme, is that really, you're not going to have a heart attack tomorrow because your triglycerides were 175. Sure. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think people need to take that with a grain of salt too, and think about other measurement tools like DEXAs, arterial scans, continuous glucose monitoring.
Right.
Measuring your ketones. There's lots of different things you could do, but you don't want to like overwhelm yourself to where that's all you're thinking about. Because there are some people where testing can be really stressful.
Sure.
Whereas for me, I love it.
It's just fun. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yes. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. And
yeah.
It's so fun that you're, you know, so transparent with everybody too, that you show, and then it makes it more of a relaxed thing that people can, you know, make it more of a normal thing that they do and not, you know, a stressed out, like, you know, once every couple years and like they're, you know, biting their
lip. Used to be that person. I used to be where I only got blood work like once every 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
And I went from that to testing. I test once or twice a month now for my experiments. If I I didn't have a YouTube channel, I would probably, knowing what I know now, I'd probably test every 6 months.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, that's cool. So you do have some exciting things going on too that I want to talk about. So you wrote a book.
I did.
A carnivore cookbook. And when is that coming out?
So it's more than a cookbook, actually. It is a complete in-depth guide to the carnivore diet plus a cookbook. So it's basically like two books in one.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of work. It's called Complete Carnivore.
Okay.
It comes out September 16th, and it's now available for pre-order. And pre-orders are a big deal for authors. If we can get, I'm aiming for at least 15,000 pre-orders, which is lofty.
Okay.
But if we can get that many pre-orders, we can get this book onto every bookstore shelf in America on release day. And if it's widely available in stores, it'll have a much bigger impact. So I just want to share the healing power of carnivore with as many people as possible, because we have so many sick people in this country and in the world.
Yes,
you know, 85-90% of this country is metabolically unwell.
That's right.
Not good.
No, it's not good. And when people don't feel good, they don't do good. And when we do feel good, it impacts everybody around us. I mean, I know it's made me a better wife, a better mom. It's definitely helped my husband to be a better husband. He's functional now. And so, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can share with people is to help them get their health back. It's a
Could you imagine if the entire country was just at an optimal baseline of health, just like what we could do as a society to fix everything that's wrong here, or, and to continue improving everything that's good here?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. It would be amazing. So
Just your parenting alone for that next generation, how much, you know, if we're better parents, we can raise up better children that are more, you know, capable of fixing things too. And it's just
totally agree.
It's
well, and also
powerful.
Start the kids young. Start the kids young on a meat-based diet. They don't necessarily need to be full carnivore, but just whole real food, organic, get the pesticides out, and eat meat at every meal. My kids 100%. Are three. They've started reading at 2.5. They're so tall. They look like 4 or 5 year olds. They're three.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Super cool. Yeah. So you have your new book coming out. Where do you go to pre-order that?
So I will put, I'll send you some links you can put in the show notes. So Amazon and Barnes & Noble have really good pre-order deals where if whenever you pre-order it from that time until release date, on release day, if the price goes down, you'll get the lowest price it ever was. So if it went on sale for like $20 on Amazon and you had already pre-ordered it, you get that price. So that's kind of the benefit to pre-ordering this early. And then I think Target, and then for international viewers, we have a link for them as well.
Okay, very cool. So, and it'll be released hopefully in September. So that's great. It's going to hit the market right before the holiday season. So everybody can stock up on them and buy these as gifts for your family to give out. And yeah, that's super cool. And you also do personal coaching.
I do. Yeah, that's been a really fun thing that I started early last year. I really enjoy working with people one-on-one because I feel like we can really dive into the nitty-gritty more so than I can in answering comments on YouTube or in messages on Instagram, you know? So yeah, I have many clients that we talk every few weeks or every month and we kind of dial things in. It's especially helpful if you're having a hard time losing weight on carnivore, you've hit a stall, or if you need some advice of like what blood tests to take or things to measure, things like that. I really, really enjoy working with people individually.
And where can people find that information for you?
I'll send you that link too. You can book a call through my Calendly link, and I open up hours. There's lots of different hours throughout the day.
Very cool. Okay. So awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jenny. You gave me lots of great information, and I have some direction now on where to go next. So super helpful. I appreciate your time, and I know you're a busy mom with those little boys, and I just love watching your channel. I love all of the tests that you do and all of the, you know, hypothetical things that you know, the crazy things you do too, with like, I'm going to eat carnivore bars for 2 weeks and see what happens to my blood work. I love it. So keep doing what you're doing, and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. When you get your new blood work, feel free to send it my way and I'll look over it for you.
I sure will. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Great. Thank
you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too.
All righty.